You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Remain standing as I read from Psalms 126. Psalms 126, starting at verse 1, it says, when the Lord turned the captivities of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, that's the unbelievers, who think that these faith-believing people of God are crazy, they said, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, no doubt about it, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You may be seated. I want to speak today as we again preparing for our Supersede Sundays, asking all the leaders who are prepared to be able to do that next Sunday. And for those of you who have not been part of this, this is a great, exciting day at Right Direction. When we have our Supersede Sunday, I kick it off, then I ask our leaders to come and say what the Lord has put on their hearts to give in a great, abundant, above average. Everybody say above average. An above average way. I'm talking about our Supersede Sunday, praise the Lord. And so people come forward and show and speak of what they're giving. And we rejoice over every gift. Amen. Whether it's $100 or $100,000, we rejoice over every gift because every gift together helps us do what we do. And there's a synergetic effect, which means that the sum is greater than its parts. And that's why the Bible said two are better than one, because we have a greater reward for our labor of getting together. That's why you get married, to do better. Amy, say it again. That's why you get married, to do better. You don't just get married because you want to have legitimate sex. You get married because you want to do better. Later on, you find out that ain't enough if you ain't doing better. Come on, you get married so you can do better. This is a partnership. My life is better because I'm with you. We have more together than we ever would have had individually. That's the purpose of marriage, partnership. And so many of us are going to be sowing a precious seed. And we're going to talk about that, a precious seed, because the promise of the scripture from Psalm 126 is that he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing or sowing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. His sheaves is a great abundance of harvest with him. That verse from the New Living Translation of Psalm 126, 5 and 6, it says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. I said shouts of joy. Shouts of joy. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. The Message Translation puts all those verse 4 through 6 together. The Message Translation says, and now God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessings. Come on, somebody put your arms out. Say, God, give me a bless me with armloads of blessings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Armloads of blessings. I'm prophesying over somebody's super seed already. God getting ready to bless you with armloads of blessings. Hallelujah. That's this promise from the scriptures. So let me tell y'all a story. Some of you heard the story, but for the purpose of this introduction, usually I tell my stories and I rush through them real quick because some of y'all heard them, and I'm a little triggered. I'm a little triggered because years ago somebody got offended. You know, people get offended with the pastor. People get offended. That's why I told our leaders, and I told our servant, what y'all called again? Health ministers. I told the health ministers yesterday that you got to have a relationship with the Lord that goes beyond the relationship with your pastor. You have to have a relationship with the Lord that goes beyond the people who you like at the church. Because as soon as something goes wrong with the people you like at the church, then you will leave the church and then leave the Lord. And as soon as you get mad with the pastor, I don't like it. Years ago, some of y'all don't know, I used to watch this in the early days. We had a whole nother place now. In the early days of our church, y'all see how we do and how we do things. And there's no pressure. I don't want no pressure on anybody. I used to have people, as we get ready to prepare for Super Seed Sunday, people would leave the church, leaders. They would leave because they didn't want to give. And if you don't want to give, don't. We're going to, some... Y'all understand this God's church, okay? One knee brew don't stop no show. Some of y'all know knee brews is ask somebody, look it up in the Greek, okay? And so there people get offended. People get offended for all kinds of reasons. And so sometimes you have to ask yourself, what am I really offended about? Sometimes, most of the time, we take offense. Offense is something you take. That's why one person can say something, someone will laugh about it, another person, and then somebody else hears the same thing and they laugh about it, somebody else, they get very upset about it. One takes offense, one doesn't. You have to choose whether you're gonna take offense. And there's a scripture that said, great peace are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You can get to the point, and offend really means, it don't just mean emotional feeling, it means it stops you from doing what you were doing. When a person gets offended, they stop doing what they were doing. They stumble. And there are people who get offended, and so I was telling our health ministers yesterday that you have to have a relationship with the Lord that goes beyond the church, that goes beyond the pastor. So even if you got offended with me, you still keep serving the Lord. What Jesus do to you? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he says, he already said, okay? And so you're not discovering who Jesus is because he's already revealed himself in his word. So if you get offended with me, get offended with somebody else in church, come on, go find another church. Keep serving God. Are y'all following me? Don't fall off from the church because you get offended with a person. Jesus said, this is my church. Upon this rock I build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, I got off. Okay, and so I used to tell my stories, and somebody got offended years ago, and as I could see, they were offended. They were a leader. And I could see folks offended, but when our leaders get offended, okay, the attitude changes, and they're real close to me. If Minister Joyce was sitting here every time, and every time I got up, she was up here rolling her eyes at me. I'm like, okay, I got to bring Joyce in. We got some problems here because she leads my corporate prayer. And obviously she got some issues and I can't be having her spew that over the congregation. So I had a leader I could see was offended because nothing I said was funny anymore. Now y'all know I'm funny sometimes. If you don't laugh at all my jokes, you laugh at some of them. Some of them you try not to laugh, you find yourself laughing. But if you ain't laughing at nothing, or either you are greatly depressed, okay, or there's some offense. And so I said, what's going on? And the person was offended, so she said to me, she said, you tell these same old stories all the time. I've been in this church for 10 years, you just keep telling these same stories. And I said, well, obviously, when you came here, those stories were blessing you. And I said, and there's people still getting blessed by these stories. And I said, so sound like you offending, brother. Well, we think about going, I said, well, you probably do need to leave. I ain't trying to make nobody stake. I didn't make. And so, but I got a little triggered. So every time I go to tell one of my stories, I keep hearing that
Nobody telling you, tell the same stories all the time. And nobody trying to hear your stories. So a lot of times I go to tell my story and I'll rush through my story because I'm like, people thinking, he telling the same stories again. But every time I tell a story, there's somebody that heard my story. So I ain't talking to you, I'm talking to one that heard it. March of 1988, we were still renting a place just to have our services. We didn't have our own building. Right down the street here, some of you ever want to take a ride, just go down right across from the DJJ and the prison system down there. It's on the left side, 4921 Broad River Road, the Postal Working Union Hall. And we were renting that just for our services. We had our services there on Sundays for $50, and it had Tuesday night. The reason why we did Tuesday night versus Wednesday night is because they had their union meeting on the first Tuesday, which they still do, on the first Tuesday of every month, and so we knew we would have to change it. Rather than changing once a month, on the first Wednesday, rather, we just had our Bible studies on Tuesday night. And so we were renting here. We came there in like September of 1996. Our church is now, we started in April of 96. And we had our first service. That's why we're celebrating 28 years this month. And so we came into that building just renting just space in April of 1996. And then I kept believing God that we'd have our own building. And I was riding around, and we had an opportunity to rent what y'all hear us talk about, to lease the place at 4921 Broad River Road. It's really nostalgic. It's the place is falling apart right now because if any place right direction leaves, it go down. Lord Jesus. Okay. And but so we had the opportunity to lease this place. And we went in there and we saw what we were going to have to do. That's why you hear me say that one of the first things we said, we're going to have to put up sheetrock, okay? We're going to put up sheetrock. And me and Elder Perry, we put up the sheetrock. But he didn't know nothing about putting up sheetrock, and I didn't know nothing about putting up sheetrock. And we just I didn't know sheetrock from pebble rock, okay? And we trying to put up the sheetrock, and we trying to hammer into cinder blocks. Okay, he would hammer 10 times, I hammer 5 times, he hammer another 5 times, and then we get one nail in. And then finally somebody came along and said, this ain't how you do this. You gotta first put up studs, and you put insulation. We found that out later, okay? But anyway, so we have this opportunity to get this building, and so and the Lord spoke to me, said, and I said, we're going to need $10,000. $10,000 to pay the deposit and to renovate what we can to start having services there. And Pastor Marsh and I, we have been believing God for a home. This is 1996. We've been married 11 years. We have 4 small children. We've never owned a home. We've gone from state to state, but never owned a home. And so when I left corporate America in 97, this is now 1998. In 97, I have $5,000 that have been put aside little by little over the last 7-8 years or so. That $5,000, and as far as I know, unless the law has changed, you could use you could take money out of your 401k or 403b for a first-time home payment, a down payment. That was our plan. We had $5,000. It's the most money I had ever seen at one time, and I didn't even see it. It was on paper, okay? I had never seen that much money. Y'all know about when I was wasting the money my mother gave me, okay? But it's since I've been married, it's the biggest lump sum of money we had, $5,000. And so we would go around from time to time, just look for a house. So we got our down payment, we got this $5,000. Now, $5,000 back then could probably get you something. $5,000, you need to still be praying today. You need to pray and have some friends and some special favor, okay? But $5,000, that was our down payment. And so now we're getting ready to get this building, and I'm excited about it. And just like I do with our Super Seed, I know whatever I ask y'all to do, I got to lead. Now, we have a church of about 20 to 40 people. They're still relatively new, okay? We only been going a year and a half. People still looking at me funny. I'm from New Jersey. Y'all know how some of y'all still got issues with folks from up north, okay? And so I need to raise $10,000. And the Lord speaks to me and says, take the $5,000 that I gave you and take it up to Mount Moriah and slay it there. Some of y'all get that later. I'll work it in. Okay? Sacrifice that $5,000. And so the Lord had been dealing with me about it for a couple weeks. I know I need to see this often. I'm going to ask the people to give whatever they could give. And I remember somebody came and brought a whole bunch of change. Somebody just brought, they had been saving quarters and dimes. That ended up being, if I remember, about $500. Somebody gave, and we counted all the money, and everybody got involved. But so we were getting ready to go into service, and I told Pastor Marcia, I finally got enough courage to tell her. I said, honey, the Lord's dealing with me about us sowing that $5,000 to get our first building. And she said, okay, I'll pray about it. Now, we're now around the corner, like in Piney Grove, the place right north of Piney Grove. And I said, well, pray quick, because the Lord told me to tell people we're going to give it today. And she said, huh? But about somewhere between there and the time I got to receive the offering, she told me, okay, go ahead and give it. But she gave it, but she was crying. I mean, crying. We went out to dinner that day at the place that where, now I got a quick trip, there was a restaurant there called Hilltop, where we used to eat, and where it was a buffet, where we told the kids to lie and don't say how old you are. Because kids under a certain age was free. You know how kids, they proud when they get older, you know, like five and older free. And we went there one Sunday, and they said, how old are you, little girl? I said, oh, shut up. Kendra said six. I said, you're five. She said, no, I was six last week. Shut up. Okay. We went out to dinner that Sunday. Bad went to worse. The kids spilled something on Marcia's dress. So it was after church. She didn't sacrifice our $5,000 for a house. We don't know where that's going to come from. And now her dress is all messed up. And so Marcia released the seed, but she sowed in tears. Okay? She sowed in tears. But the text promises us, the text promises us that those who sow in tears will reap in joy. That's 1998. Now, fast forward about 2 years. About 2 years, 2001, probably around 2000. We have an opportunity to get our first house. I'm just so happy we got approved. I'll never forget y'all, so I rejoice with y'all too. Amen. I'm so happy we got approved. I mean, that was uncommon favor. And by the way, y'all, Don Staley didn't come up with the term uncommon favor. Mike Murdoch came up with the term uncommon favor. Mike Murdoch got all kind of books about uncommon favor. So I know you might think like that Don Staley is the progenitor of the phrase uncommon favor. Okay, it was uncommon favor that we got approved. I mean, I could run and jump or shout out because we got approved. And then so we go to sit down about the house, and we sit down with the realtor. He said, "Well, you'll probably only need about $5,000 to close." I said, "Oh, Jesus, I needed a ketchup." We got approved. I'm thinking now, no, you need money to close. And so I'm getting ready to end the whole deal and cancel it. He said, can we close something? Will you have it? And I got to say, well, and Marcia said, yes, we'll have it. I said, I looked at her. She said, we'll have it. We got it. I said, this woman didn't pull the black woman thing on me. Black women, y'all know her because a lot of your mamas told y'all, don't be dependent on no man. Always have your own little something on the side. And I figured now, for the last 15 years, 13 or 15, she's been putting something on the side. And now when it's time for the down payment, she got it. And I've been struggling all these years, and she got this money on the side. And I said, we got it? She said, yeah, we have it. I said, okay. So later on, after I said, no, we got it. What calendar is it in? Where? Is it under the mattress? Where you got a safe deposit box somewhere? She said, the Lord told me when I release that seed for the ministry, we will have it. Now, we didn't physically have it, but she had a word from God that when we go to close on a house, we will have it. Now, my wife, really, especially back then, she always operated a whole nother level of faith than me. And so I used all my faith. I was like faith depleted because we got to prove. Now we got to get approved, and I got to believe for a down payment too. And then we were talking about furniture. Because she said, now all this old furniture we had that Mother Betty gave us that we took from New Jersey to Maine to South Carolina, you know, we ain't have no more. I'm like, please, woman, I got to believe for the house, the down payment. Now you want new furniture? Boy, you just asking for a lot. But she just believed God, and she said, we will have what we need, and I jumped on her back of faith. I said, I'm going to ride your faith on this one, okay? Listen, somebody got to be believing in the house. I said, somebody got to be believing in the house. And Acts 27, when that ship was about to go down and they thought everything, Paul came forth and said, he said, be of good cheer, I believe God. He said, I don't even care if y'all don't, I believe God, and it shall be as it was told me. And so she stood on this word that because she had sown this precious seed and released it, and to this day, I don't know how we had it. And I don't know if we talked to somebody, but this I do remember. I remember we were talking about it, and we had the few members we had. Somebody decided they wanted to get together with the church and help the church get us a down payment. And then the scuttlebutt started. People start getting me, people talking, you know, ain't nobody help me with no down payment for my house. And I got it one Sunday. I said, I don't need nothing from you people. No, I stopped the whole thing. I said, don't give us a dime. Well, everything, whatever God said, he will provide for us. I don't want anybody to give us anything. And I shut, you remember that? I shut the whole thing down. And I don't remember how the money came. But we had it. And not only that, then we got all new furniture. I mean all new furniture. Debt-free, now y'all need to understand. I was the one who went around to the Goodwill and the antique place. Pastor Mark said, we ain't doing that no more. That is over. Sophia home now. And she got with this other pastor's wife, Sister Booker, and we went to these places, and she had to tell her faith friend, her battle buddy, saying, Marsh, you like that? You want that? Well, we're going to claim that. And I would see the price, and they put their hands on it. I'm like, y'all better call on Jesus. And they're walking around and they're putting their hand on stuff and claiming stuff, and everything that they claim, we got it debt free. And it all happened because we released a precious seed. It was the most money I had ever sown at one time. And to us, it was sacrificing so much. The text, verse 1, gives us a conclusion of a traumatic time and traumatic event for the people of God. What had happened was they rebelled against God. They were taken as slaves in exile to a foreign country, but now they're restored and they come back to their land. And so the writer says, when the Lord turned our captivity, when the Lord brought back his exiles, the New Living Translation says, to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. Can I tell you, God can help you live your dream. We're living our dream. God can help you live your dream. I don't know what your dream is, but God can fulfill dreams. He said, we were like those that dream. He said, we responded with laughter. We responded with singing. We responded with joy. And then they responded with a testimony. They said, we got to tell our story, even if you heard our story. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. We were exiled, We were slaves. We didn't have our own land. We didn't have our own houses. But God brought us back and restored our fortunes. And we were like them that dream. I got a testimony. The Lord has done great things for me. Where are we glad? And not only that, it said before they even said it, the folks who knew what they had been through, the heathen, the people who laughed at them, said, man, God done great things for them. You know, I went to school with her. We came out of the same place. We was in the project with them. We used to live in the same trailer park. We both from the same town with one light. But look at them now. The Lord has done great things for them. Can I tell you, you're really not blessed the way God wants you to be blessed until your enemies see you blessed, until the doubters see you blessed, until a sinner see you blessed, and they envy us. Look at somebody and say, you're going to see me blessed. Glory to God.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.